The epistle appointed to be read for this Quinquagesima Sunday is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, if I should speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have charity, I have become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And if I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. And if I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity does not envy, is not pretentious, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, is not self-seeking, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. Charity never fails. Whereas prophecies will disappear, and tongues will cease, and knowledge will be destroyed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is imperfect will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away the things of a child. We see now through a mirror, in an obscure manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know even as I have been known. So there abide faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And the Holy Gospel. Is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus, taking to himself the 12, said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that have been written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death, and on the third day he will rise again." And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them, neither did they get to know the things that were being said. Now it came to pass, as he drew near to Jericho, that a certain blind man was sitting by the wayside begging. And hearing a crowd passing by, he inquired what this might be. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they who went in front angrily tried to silence him, but he cried out all the louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Then Jesus stopped and commanded that he should be brought to him. And when he drew near, he asked him, saying, "What wouldst thou have me to do for thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may see." And Jesus said to him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee." And at once he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, upon seeing it, gave praise to God. Thus, for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. First of all, my beloved people, this morning I am happy to tell you that the two that have been asked, for whom we've asked prayers, Mr. Glentz and Mr. Hand, are doing very well. And you can continue to pray for them, and we will not pray for them in here this morning, but you pray for them anyway. There will be catechism class this morning, the Vespers this afternoon with benediction. Today, tomorrow, and the next day are, as we all know, the Mardi Gras festivals. Mardi Gras had its roots, its origins, in ancient Christian Catholic tradition. It has descended to being one of the world's most unbelievable problems. But let us at least, as we, those of us who understand, who know that this, if taken in the context of religion, is proper. Therefore, especially Tuesday, the very words themselves, Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday, enjoy it. Have a little party. Have a little family gathering. Because the next day begins the holy season. It is totally proper. It is totally Christian if taken in the proper context. Wednesday, of course, is Ash Wednesday. We will speak of that in a moment. Masses in the church on that day, in this church, will be at 6 in the morning and at 8 in the morning, and again at 7 in the evening, and distribution of ashes at each of the masses. Friday evenings during Lent, we will have the usual Stations of the Cross. I certainly understand that for most of you, coming to the Stations of the Cross on a regular basis on Friday evenings will not be easy, might be difficult even, or even impossible. But for those of you who live nearby, I certainly encourage you to take advantage of this ceremony, of this sacrifice, of this service, the Stations of the Cross at 7 on every Friday evening during Lent. Attached to this day, to today's bulletin, first of all, in the front page, is a little card. I want you to read that. I want you to read it carefully and study it carefully. And I would like very much for you to start that little devotion. It's just a matter of about a dozen, not even a dozen words, about a half a dozen words that you can very quickly and very easily memorize. And what you will accomplish by the use of those very few words is certainly awesome. I encourage you to learn that. I encourage you to use that and to use it many, 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 many times during the day. Jesus, Mary, I love you. Save souls. That's all you got to say. And if you, by just saying that, can put one soul in heaven, need I say more? The purple page on today's bulletin, attached to today's bulletin, lists the suggested scripture readings for Lent. As we all know, that these are best accomplished when the family sits together at the evening meal, and that the father of the family or the mother, father or mother, not the children, will do these readings. Read them slowly, carefully, with preparation and determination. Bring the message that is in those readings out to the family. It's most important. Wednesday, is a day of fast and abstinence, as of course are all Fridays. Fasting, and you will get these instructions also from the purple page. Fasting is recommended. I cannot say that it is bound under serious sin, but I don't know. It's a matter of serious conscience, however. And I think that we should try to the best of our ability to fast during Lent every day. Fasting means a simple breakfast. I'll tell you what we do here in the monastery. I'm not saying that you should do the same at your homes or your houses, but that you can take example. For breakfast, we have two slices of bread with coffee or water. For the noonday meal, which is our main meal, we have a regular meal. And for supper, we call it supper. Everybody else calls it dinner. You dine at noon and you sup at supper. For supper, we have a bowl of soup with some crackers and a piece of bread. And that's it. And I must say that because our day's work is a little bit on the heavy side, in the morning, we allow a little thin smearing of butter on the bread. That's it. My beloved people, what we are facing today is no joke. And I'm asking you, as I ask ourselves, the monks and the sisters, to do something over and above that which we normally perform. For goodness sake, stay away from resolutions. No resolutions. It's not a question of doing. It's a question of being. To tell you, which I've told you so many times, that number one, our world is in serious trouble. But that is caused by the fact that the church that we speak of is an even greater trouble. And that we have pointed out in here before that we are now, every one of us, walking in rubble. We do not know anything but rubble. And rubble has come to be a way of life. We hear tell, and we read about it, we talk about it, of a religion that will be suitable for everybody on earth together. But there's something that somehow or other is standing in the way. And that something has got to be done away with. It's a stumbling block. And as long as that something is there, Our ambitions for a one world religion will never be fulfilled. So, get rid of it. You know what that something is? That something is on our altar. That something is the most blessed Eucharist. Do away with that, and you will succeed. And so we have pretzels, and we have donuts, and we have crackers, and we have cake and cookies and muffins. We have Kool-Aid, we have orange and grape and tangerine, whatever flavor you prefer, you know? That's Eucharist, isn't it? Whatever happened to the body and blood? In order to do away with the Eucharist, because it is not as simple as that, in order to do away with the Eucharist, we must destroy the priesthood. Without a priest, there is no Eucharist. The two are inseparable. Without Eucharist, there is no priest. Without a priest, there is no Eucharist. And so, we must do away with it. You remember in Scripture two times when our Lord multiplied the loaves and the fishes. And how wonderful it all was, and how the people were so moved to edification and greatness. How grateful they were. But then, after each time, came that which was important. Unless you eat of my flesh and my blood, and they said, how can this be? You'll notice there was something different about this situation that was not at other times evident. At other times, when our blessed Lord spoke in what they called and what we call parables, and the people said, don't understand them. Explain yourself. And our Lord said, yes, wait just a moment, and I will explain myself. And he did. This time, or these two times, when he said, this is impossible what you're talking about. This is a hard saying. We cannot accept that. We won't accept that. Now, these are the ones that he fed the day before. And here is the remarkable part, which applies to us today. When they turned around to leave, both times, when they turned around to leave, our Lord Jesus Christ did not say, "Wait just a moment, and I will explain." And when the faithless departed, he let them go. And he turned around to his apostles, "Will you also go?" And they said, "No." So it is with us today. It's a tragedy that we do not comprehend. When we depart from that, there will be no invitation to come back. And that invitation is not being issued by me, because that applies to me as much as it applies to you. When we depart from that, there is no invitation to return. And when the faithless depart, let them depart. Those are strong words. That's where we are today. I cast no judgment, and I forbid you to cast judgment on anybody. But for the grace of God, I would not be here. But for the grace of God, neither would you. My beloved people, during this Lent, I want you and us, join us to do something to bring about a little bit of what Jesus Christ suffered and died for. It is not in a ceremony. It's in every heart that's in this church right now and elsewhere where such exists. That is taking place in our hearts, dear people. That's where the activity must take place if what is accomplished is to be successful. Every Sunday, I tell you, if only you knew what has transpired over the past week, you would not believe it. Certainly, we have hit the bottom. I say that every week. But I am going to tell you a secret. That should I say that this morning, by next Sunday, I will have eaten my words. Because I will find out that we are not at the bottom. I said that 20 years ago. Surely people we are at the bottom. Goodness gracious sakes alive. 20 years ago, as compared to today, there is not language enough to describe it. Every place you turn, there's another disaster, and another disaster, and another disaster. And every single solitary such ones have to do with that. And in order to destroy that, they have to destroy the priesthood. And today, once upon a time rather, there used to be a witch hunt. Now we have a priest hunt. And you know, the bad part of it all is that in so many cases, the hunt is conducted by others who carry the name priest. Dear people, we have work to do, and I ask you to do it. Jesus Christ himself is begging. And just as the apostles, as St. Peter said, "Dear Lord, if we leave from you, to whom shall we go? How it has turned. It is not now Peter asking Christ, but Christ asking Peter if I cannot come to you, to whom shall I go?" Therefore, give him consolation. Give him something of what he is seeking, enough to go through what we are going to be observing during these next 40 or so days. Sacrifice, penance, mortification, a little bit less of recreation, a little bit more silence in the house, less noise in the house, less music in the house, less computerization in the house, less a whole lot of coming and going and coming and going and coming and going. Stay home. And say your prayers. Get on your knees and say your prayers. Prayer is the only thing that will come to anybody's assistance. I and all of you and all of the armies that ever walked the face of the earth are totally incapable of straightening out this mess. But one Hail Mary coming from a soul that loves is enough to move a mountain. And he said today, if I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. And if I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Let us not confuse charity with the word love that we throw around like garbage today. Charity is God. And we must love God. And He has to be at the center of everything we do. Does it mean we have to change anything physically or outwardly? Go on about your business outwardly, business as usual. But the activity is in our hearts. So, my beloved people, I say today, we've hit bottom. I hope that next Sunday, it won't be as bad. I hope and pray. May God bless every one of you. And may God protect every one of us from every mischief. May angels, may flights of angels protect us and keep us from that which is going around, a virus, the like of which has never been experienced before. My beloved people,